Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Eutelsat.
Good afternoon to all who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite in different countries. Also where you are, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, and all those who will be later listening and reading this teaching under the tent on this occasion. Our subject today is the marriage yoke between Christ and His Church. It was preached on Saturday, November 22nd of 2008 in Santiago, Chile. Today, Friday, September 5th of this year, 2025, let's search in a book of Revelation on chapter 19, verse 7 and on, where it tells us, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true saints of God. These are the true saints of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And he writes there on the spirit of prophecy, he writes on top of it, he writes H.S. that is Holy Spirit, and next to it he writes Holy Spirit, the marriage yoke between Christ and His Church. You may please be seated if you're so kind. In the message, the definitive victory of the seventh seal over Satan, which was preached on Sunday, April 19 of 1998 by Dr. William Soto Santiago, it tells us, this was in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. And he tells us here in a part, it says, "And the forerunner of the second coming of Christ also saw the coming of the Messiah in visions. He also saw the instrument in whom the coming of the Messiah will be fulfilled. He saw the veil of flesh." Now, notice, how did he see him? In vision, when he was transported to the great 10th cathedral. And where did he see him? In a great 10th cathedral. There we have the, how did he see him? Well, in a vision. When? In a great tent. He didn't see him while being in his physical body. Now, in the first coming of the Lord, notice, the forerunner and the one forerun were actually there back then. But notice that for the second coming of the Lord, they were together. But notice, only in that theophanic body, there in that cloud that appeared to Reverend William Branham, those angels, that angel was there, the one who had the seventh seal, the one who was there in that constellation of angels. And they were there together. But on earth, look, he said, that he might not die of an old age until he was here. See? That he wasn't. That angel still wasn't manifested on earth. That angel who was different from the rest, he wasn't on earth while the Reverend William Branham was here on earth. He, just as John the Baptist, forerun the first coming of the Lord, Reverend William Branham is the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and he was to introduce him, he was to indicate who he was. And when he shows the tenth vision, there he gives the church, he shows the church who the messenger is, where the messenger is, and which work the messenger is carrying out, was carrying out. the messenger, where that instrument in whom the Holy Spirit will be operating the ministry of Jesus, of Moses and Elijah, to carry out the fulfillment of the angel who was different from the rest, who has the seventh seal, and which is the one who has the rapture in faith for the church bride. On page 119 from the Book of Quotations, he tells us there of this message, in an excerpt of this message, Look Away to Jesus, page 119, paragraph 1058, it says, I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. And there above he writes, the Messiah, Moses and Elijah, I may be taken before that time, but I do believe that we are so close that I would never die of an old age. Yet, at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he's here, see? Unless I'm shot, killed, or something other. Some way killed, just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come, see? In that moment, that angel who was different from the rest wasn't manifested yet. He still wasn't manifested on earth the way those angels and those ministering spirits are manifested through a veil of flesh. The veil of flesh hadn't been born yet. That is why he said, I won't die of old age until he's here. Well, look, just a little longer, if God had allowed him to live just a little longer, he would have seen the veil of flesh because he was born in 1974, see? He would have pointed him out closely while in his body. But since he didn't, God didn't allow him to introduce him like that while he was in that body of flesh. So God transports him in vision to the most important place on earth, to the most important time of that the planet Earth has ever gone through. And right at the moment when that manifestation was being carried out, already in that stage, when that messianic ministry was coming to its end, because he saw preaching, calling to the altar, prayer lines, people being healed there, meaning it was already the peak of that ministry. And he says, I may not do it, but this message, see? He may not do it while being in his earthly body, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See? So it paralleled in every way, and I know it will. And on the right upwards, he writes, the message introduces the second coming. And on top of the paragraph, he also writes, I won't die of old age until he's here, like John the Baptist. He also writes, building a platform for the Lord at his second coming. A platform. In other words, the foundation for the message that he is bringing, so that the message is the one that introduces Jesus Christ to the world. This message will do it. See? Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, he says, and the forerunner of the second coming of Christ also saw the coming of the Messiah in visions. And he also saw the instrument in whom the coming of the Messiah would be fulfilled. He saw the veil of flesh. When he heard the seven thunders uttering their voices, where did he hear? Where did he see? And all that in vision. Where? In a great tent cathedral. Look, each messenger wanted to make God's promises his. He wanted to bring them to his age. He wanted them to be fulfilled through him. To such an extent, notice that Reverend William Branham wanted to go to Israel. He wanted to conquer that promise of converting the Hebrew people to Christ. He wanted to go to do that work. And he went. He prepared everything, and the angel told him, it is not your time. Notice, halfway there, to turn a prophet back around after all the preparation he had made. See? Because he thought it was him. But when the angel opens the revelation, gives him the revelation that has to be according to the scripture, and the scripture where that is fulfilled is Revelation 11. The same with our brother William Soto. He also said in several messages that he was the one. But notice, the prophets always speak in the present tense, because God is ever present. And even when Reverend William Branham would say, we will ride this trail again, many people thought, well, it's because he's going to ride that ministerial trail again. See? The Holy Spirit is the one speaking there. He spoke through Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Reverend William Branham, Dr. William Soto. They spoke all that God was carrying out in their time, and in them, God also reflected, indicated everything he would do in his coming. He showed, reflected in them all that he would be doing at this end time. You see how simple everything is? Now, he continues to say, and that was in 1998, he goes on to say, because, notice, God gave him the revelation progressively, and that is how it is with all the messengers that God has sent. He doesn't give them the revelation at once. That is why the messages that he sent me to play, he told me to play, they were specific. And also the ones of that decade, starting from 2010 and on as well, and also the ones that referred to the fulfillment of the 10th vision. In other words, a review of everything. And he knew which ones. That is why he said, follow the instructions of the Great 10th Cathedral. Tune in with the 10th. Tune in with Puerto Rico. Because there would come a time when everyone would have to be listening to only one voice, as simple as that. Now, he goes on to say, well, he heard the seven thunders uttering their voices through the instrument that God would have on earth for the fulfillment of his coming, the coming of the Word incarnate in a man. Look, he saw that instrument when he heard the thunders, and he told us that the thunders were going to be uttered in a great 10th cathedral. Therefore, whoever is ministering there, that messenger is the last messenger that God would send from his church, where he would be fulfilling the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, where he would have that ministerial spirit of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, operated by the Holy Spirit, which is the one who operates the ministries. He continues saying, but that man is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He is only the veil of flesh in whom Christ will be manifested at the last day, making known to us all these things which must shortly come to pass. That instrument is a member of God's family, someone who has been born again. Remember on Mount Transfiguration, his countenance was altered. If it was another countenance, then it is not the literal glorified body of Jesus that is there in the 10th vision carrying out everything. Rather, it is that veil of flesh, that instrument in whom God will be operating the ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He goes on to say, the forerunner of the second coming of Christ was forbidden to make known that mystery. He was forbidden to make known the mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery of what he saw there in the little room in the 10th vision. Even there, he was looking for a name he saw after he came out of that vision. He was hunting for a name that he saw or heard there. Let us have that alone, because this has to do with the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a bit further on, he says, in this same message, we have seen how the definitive victory of the seventh seal over Satan will be. We have seen how the manifestation of the third pool will be performing great miracles and wonders. We have seen how the manifestation of the third pool will be bringing forth the call to the Hebrew people. We have seen what the third pool is, bringing forth the call to the elect among the Gentiles. We have seen what the third pool is, bringing forth the revelation, giving us the revelation of the seventh seal. Now, remember that the victory, which at this end time, the seventh seal has with the group, that is, the coming of the Lord with the group, the bride, is a victory that it's definitive. In other words, there is no doubt that the victory is of the seventh seal with the church bride. Now, there was a case in the Bible where, let's look in 1st or 2nd Kings, 2nd Kings, it tells us here, in chapter 13, verse 14, look, it says, now, Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. It doesn't say which sickness, but possibly old age, because that is an illness, old age. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the wisdom eastward. And he writes there to the left, he writes eastward. And the east is, it says that is through the eastern gate, which is the door of Judah, where the Lord comes in his coming. Notice the spiritual Judah. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, until thou have consumed them. And on the left, he writes there on the Bible, arrow of deliverance. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Look, he told him to strike the ground. He didn't say to him, smite it once, twice, three times, four times, five times. He told him, smite the ground. If he gave him a command, it was to be followed. Often, people come seeking advice, and they are given the advice, but they don't follow it. Then, why do you ask for advice? Either they do not like what they are going to be told, they don't like the advice that they are given, and if they do follow it, they don't do it as they are told. Here he tells him, smite the ground. He didn't tell him when or anything. He was to keep smiting it. The point would come in which the prophet would tell him, stop there, or that's enough. You can stop now. Don't continue. He could keep going there. He was going to give him strength. He was going to give the king strength to keep striking. He wasn't going to get tired, because it was God's word through Elisha who told him, smite. Smite the ground. Keep smiting. And now, look, he says, and he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. And there to the left, he writes, smite. Then hasn't thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it? That is, he was going to make them disappear. Whereas, now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, meaning, look, because he didn't continue smiting the earth, Syria would remain. Now notice everything that has happened because of that event that took place. Look, there he says, smite five or six times. How hard would it have been for him to go a bit more? In other words, three, four, five, six, two or three more strikes. Then surely he would have said, okay, that's enough, because in a vision he was seeing the result of his strike. He would smite, and Elijah would already see the defeat in the future. He smote again, and another defeat for Syria, and another smite, and another defeat of Syria. And he stopped there. He, the prophet, stopped seeing Syria defeated. He only saw it defeated those three times. He didn't see it. He didn't finish the vision. See? He didn't manage to get the king to finish that vision that he was seeing of serious total defeat. Why? For he was already prophesying there that if he had done it, he would have defeated Syria. He would have made it disappear completely. Look, in the message, the arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow. Reverend William Branham in this message says, he says, in the face of all of that now, to show you there's a hope, this king, Joash, heard that the prophet was sick and he went down to visit him, regarding the scripture that we were reading. And when he went to visit him, he didn't come irreverent. He would come with respect. He walked up. He had enough God about him to know that he must visit this prophet with respect. So he walked up and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And when he did, see, that's the way you want to get something from God. Don't come around a meeting like this to make fun. Don't come around to pack some kind of tale from one place to another. If you do that, you'll never get nowhere with God. Don't read the Bible to fuss about it. Read the Bible to live it. That's right. That is, see, the Bible and the messages as well. Don't use the message to argue with the brethren, with others. So, then, when he went down there, and he seen him, he respected him. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. In other words, my father, you are worth more than all the chariots of Israel and all the horsemen thereof. And how true that is. I say tonight, though Elijah was considered a holy roller, a fanatic by the modern world, yet his presence in that nation was worth more than all the horses and chariots that they had. And I will say tonight that a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost tent meeting is more to protect us than all the atomic bombs that we could create in a million years. Amen. Respect. He didn't go and say, now, hey, Holy Roller, you know what my pastor just told me about you? Oh, he didn't do that. He walked down with respect and wept over him. And because he came and approached it reverently, God had respect to him. God said, now, to Elijah, rise up. And Elijah rose up, and they was just about ready in their backslidden condition to be besieged by another country, the Syrians. That is, they were about to be defeated. They were coming to get them, and Elijah knew that. He was the prophet of God. He knew. God had shown him that. But because this man has humbled himself and come down before God and said, oh, my father, how we need you, God respected it. And he respected Elijah, and God respected him. And if you respect God's Bible and God's Holy Spirit, he will respect you. Amen. Don't try to contradict it or say, it isn't so. Just believe it, that's all. Watch him now. And Elijah said, go, get your bow. And he put an arrow in it, said, open the window towards the east. The east is the way that Jesus will come. And he said, now, watch. Now, I want you to put the arrow in the place and draw back just as far as you can. And he did. He said, shoot. And when he shot, what happened? The arrow went out. He said, get the arrow. And when he came back, he said, strike the ground. And he struck the ground 3 times. And the prophet was wroth with him. He said, why did you strike it more times than that? Why didn't you do something else about it? Strike it more times? Why didn't you strike it more times? He said, you struck it 3 times, which you will only have 3 victories. When he tells us to be strong and of good courage, when he tells us to keep smiting, pressing towards the promises and to continue until we obtain them. When he tells us this, don't stop, brethren. Don't stop striking. He has told us to smite, smite, smite. Why? Because in the end, he already saw the victory. He already saw that we would obtain the victory in divine love. Therefore, no one has told you to stop yet. Continue pressing toward everything that God has promised. Keep smiting, keep smiting, keep smiting. Because the goal is ours, the victory is ours. But it's up to us to keep smiting, keep smiting, keep smiting to obtain the victory. The prophets had not said stop yet. Therefore, we have been told, continue striving, continue marching to the promised land of the new body. Keep smiting the earth, keep smiting every inch. Every piece of the land is ours. Let's continue possessing everything. It's all ours. Therefore, keep smiting, keep smiting. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say, we have seen what the third pool is at this end time in which we live in, without signs, without miracles. But we have also seen what the third pool is later on, with miracles, wonders, and signs. And it will be the vindication or confirmation that this third pool was manifested in the angel messenger, making known to us all these things which must surely come to pass at this end time. And that is how the victory in divine love will be obtained at the last day, through the third pool, which is the manifestation of Christ at the last day in his coming. And through his angel messenger, he will be fulfilling the things he said he would do at this end time, to bless each one of you and myself as well, so that you may soon be changed, and me too, and so the dead in Christ may be resurrected in eternal bodies. We have seen part of the mystery of the definitive victory of the seventh seal over Satan. Now, he told us, be watchful. That was in 98, and look, in 2014, when he preached to us the message, watching and working for the fulfillment of the scriptures, there he told us, that was on May 3rd of 2014 in Bogotá, Colombia, he told us, in our time, we are watching and working and watching everything that has been promised for our time and working for it to become a reality and watching for the coming of the Lord, which will be a mystery that will be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In the third pool that Reverend William Branham spoke of, which will give the believers the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, let's continue watching for the coming of the Lord and for all the prophecies, the scriptures, that must be fulfilled for our time, and watching for those which the Lord must fulfill in his coming, meaning the Lord in his coming would be fulfilling certain prophecies, certain promises, so that we don't miss those scriptures and the fulfillment, which in their fulfillment will identify the coming of the Messiah or the Messiah in his coming, as it was in the first coming of Christ. He was identified by the scriptures that were promised to be fulfilled by the Messiah, and by Jesus fulfilling those prophecies, he was identified as the promised Messiah. And that was the testimony of God the Father, given through the prophetic word of what the Messiah would do in his coming. Search the scriptures, they which testify of me. Search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are the ones that testify what God will do in each time, and for our time, the most prophetic scriptures have been given to be fulfilled at this end time. Among them, the coming of the great voice of trumpet or last trumpet, the faith to be transformed, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the resurrection, the transformation of the living, and the rapture, and all these prophecies. See, all the prophecies that Dr. William Soto was indicating would be fulfilled at this end time. And he mentioned them all. And he also identified where they would be fulfilled in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, where the coming of the Lord would be manifested, where the seventh seal would be opened, where the thunders and everything relevant to the rapture in faith will be made known, where the resurrection will be taking place, the transformation, the rapture, and everything relevant to the end of time, to the time in which God will be establishing first in our lives, in our soul, in the very depths of our hearts, that kingdom, and then physically as well. But notice that he also establishes the great tribulation, which we will speak about in another occasion. Now, we have seen in this introduction to this teaching, on this occasion, the marriage yoke between Christ and his church, which we will be carrying out together in this end time for the great victory in divine love. Let's stand and thus leave in this message the marriage yoke between Christ and his church, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.